Lord tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Welcome to the Word in Motion with Pastor Chuck Kanes from Calvary Chapel of St. Clair County. Now let's get into our study with Pastor Chuck.
Your brother in Christ, one that Jesus has died for. So yeah, this causes us to check ourselves, doesn't it? To say, should I be doing this? Should I not be doing this? Am I going to help my brother? Am I going to hurt my brother? And those are the questions we have to ask. Now, Paul doesn't leave it alone because, see, when we have spiritual pride, we think we've got our act together, we're really something, we need somebody to put us in our place. We're at that point. And Paul is going to do that. Man, look how he goes for the heart here. When you sin against your brothers in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Ouch. Man, that hurts. You mean if I've done something to cause my brother in Christ to stumble, that I have sinned against Jesus? Yes. Because Jesus died for that one too. And Jesus is living in that one too. And the Lord's working on them. He's strengthening their conscience to where they can learn to say, no, I can't do that. And if you press them, you know, like the guy with the TV problem, if you press them and say, come on, don't be such a baby. Come on over to my house. We can watch this. It's just a basketball game. What's the big deal? If they're, when the Lord's working on them and their conscience gets strong enough, they say, no, I can't do that. You know, if you want to go out and play some tennis or something, we can do that. But I cannot come over and watch that. I just can't do that. Now, when their conscience is strong enough for them to say no, you know, then that's great because now they're not going to stumble because of you, you know. But the Lord cautions us with our knowledge, our spiritual insight, to be careful not to run over folks because you're sinning against Christ if you do that. Verse 13, therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause him to fall. Tell you what, this kind of chokes me up because this is a picture of love in action. Do you hear what Paul is saying? Man, if me eating that piece of meat, even though I love that barbecue stuff, you know, even if that's the case, I will never eat it again if it's going to cause my brother to sin. Whew. To me, that's awesome because he says, I love my brother that much. I don't want to hurt him, and I love my Lord that much. I don't want to sin against Christ. So I'll just say, I'll never touch it again if that's the case. And that's love, guys. That is sacrifice. That's what love is really all about. Now, when's the last time you saw that on Hollywood? Okay? Most time Hollywood is gimme, 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 mine, 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 me happy, and forget about you. Long as you're okay, as long as you make me happy. But if you don't do it, then go away. Leave me. You know, get out of here. And that is not love. That is called lust. I'll take what I want to make me happy and fill my pleasures. It has nothing to do with love. Love is sacrifice. Let's go on, because Paul now in chapter 9 is going to show us a picture of this. I told you, he wasn't going to let it go with just a few statements. He's going to show you from his own life how he practiced this. In chapter 9, verse 1, am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? So he says, I'm an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's throwing his title out there, saying, I've got authority. I can do whatever I want to do. I'm an apostle. All right? So he goes on, even though I may not be an apostle to others, because a lot of people were giving Paul a hard time. You know, he didn't join in when Jesus chose the 12. He came later on. So there were some folks who put Paul down and said, he's a late comer. You know, he's not, well, he thinks he is. But Paul knows that Jesus put him in that position as an apostle. He didn't do that himself. The Lord actually called him. So I said, even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. And remember, Paul started this church at Corinth. He's the one who brought the good news to them first. And because a lot of people got saved and started to grow, now there's a church for him there. So Paul says, if anybody should know that I'm an apostle, it should be you guys, because I came here first and told you about Jesus, you know. So he goes on, verse 3. This is my defense to those who sit in judgment on me. And he's saying that I'm an apostle and you're the proof, okay? Don't we have the right to food and drink? He said, isn't it okay if I eat and drink? Is that all right? You know, or should I not be eating and drinking because I'm an apostle and I'm supposed to be suffering or something, you know? He says, don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas? So he tells us an interesting insight here. The other apostles were married, and they took their wives with them, their believing wives with them when they went out and did ministry. And he said, even Jesus' brothers, because we know Jesus had brothers, and they did get saved after the resurrection, not before, but they did become saved, and some of them were leaders of the church. We know James, for instance, was the leader of the church at Jerusalem. That was Jesus' blood brother there, okay, through Mary. So they had wives, and he said even Cephas, even Peter, had a wife. Well, that's kind of interesting because some people think Peter was the first pope. But Peter had a wife, okay? So he did have someone he took with him on his trips. Now, these ladies aren't really pointed out to us much in Scripture because the focus was a lot of time on the men and how God was working through the men. The women a lot of times are in the background. And I don't feel bad about that, ladies. I really think when we get to heaven, a lot of times the ladies are going to be in the front line when it comes to rewards because they were willing to do it humbly and not have to say, look at me, you know. The Lord knows us guys. He sticks us up in front of folks, and we'll be back at the end of the line. So if you're looking for me when it's reward day, just look at the back. I'll probably back there and say, hello, I'm back here, you know. So just hang in there with the Lord. The Lord knows what he's doing when it comes to rewards. Verse 6, it says, or is it only I and Barnabas who must work for a living? Meaning, we shouldn't be supported by the ministry, okay? And he's going to get into something here. Because, see, the apostles are allowed to be supported by the ministry that they do. And he's going to explain that in detail. But he's saying, how come Barnabas and I are the ones that are always being pointed at, saying, look at those guys, they're not really apostles, they're not really doing what they're supposed to, they're not as good as the other guys, okay? So he's kind of throwing that out for them to chew on here. Verse 7, who serves as a soldier at his own expense? And the idea is, when you're at war, do you have to, you know, when you're called into the army and things, do you have to go out and buy your own weapons? You're going to need a gun, and this is the type of gun you're going to need to get. And don't forget the ammo. You got to buy that too, you know. No, that's supplied for you, okay? You're needed. You're called to service, but we're going to give you the tools you need to do the job, okay? And then he says, who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its grapes? It's kind of like if you're working in the field, it's okay to taste the stuff you're working with. You know, it's not a problem. Who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk? It's like this is almost common sense, guys. If you're taking care of the animals and they're milk-giving animals, then you can have some of the milk, you know. Do I say this merely from a human point of view? So he's saying, is this just my opinion? Doesn't the law say the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain. Lord bless you, by the way, whoever that was that sneezed there. But it says, even the Old Testament teaches this principle, don't muzzle the ox while it's working, while it's treading out the grain. Because, see, their thinking might be, well, we'll get more grain if the ox don't eat it. So we'll just put a muzzle on them, and as it goes through the field, it won't be able to eat stuff. But the Lord told them, don't do that. You take care of the animals even. You leave the muzzle off, so when the ox is working in the field, if it's hungry, it can bite and eat the stuff while it's working. Not a problem. So is it about oxen that God is concerned? Surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Yes, this was written for us because when the plowman plows, the thresher threshes, they ought to do so in hope of sharing in the harvest. Simply saying, when the farmer's doing his job, I'm sure he's hoping he's going to get to eat some of the stuff he's growing. Okay, if we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? So it's like we came and we gave you spiritual things, things that are eternal. Are you really bothered if we ask for some material things to help us live another day? You know, is that really an issue with you? So he says, if others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? It's kind of like we're actually the ones who led you to the Lord. We planted that spiritual seed of eternal life. Is it a problem if we want to just get something to eat, you know, from you all and ask you if we can have a meal with you? Is that really going to be a terrible thing? It says, but we did not use that right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. So he's saying, we didn't come to you and say, look, we started this church, we put all this into the church, so you owe us, man. You got to take care of all of our needs. That's the way it is, guys. He said, we didn't even take advantage of that right. He says, don't you know that those who work in the temple get their food from the temple? And the Lord set that up in the Old Testament. The priests and the workers in there, when they did their job, they were allowed to partake of some of the food that was sacrificed. The Lord had it directed that some of the sacrifice will be totally given to the Lord, but some of that sacrifice, after it's given, that's given to the priest, and they're allowed to sustain their life on different things in the temple. And it says, and those who served at the altar share in what is offered on the altar. In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. So he makes it very clear. Here's another principle, okay? Those who are in the ministry, who are serving the Lord, they're allowed to be supported by the ministry. And the Lord says, that's okay. But look what he says now in verse 15. But I have not used any of these rights. Now I notice Paul keeps bringing up this concept about, these are my rights. I can do this, you know. It's okay if I do this. That's my right to do so. And he keeps saying, I didn't take advantage of any of the rights that I have. Because I could claim that. I could say, you know, I poured myself into you guys. I want something back. I need to live, you know, and I want to take something for that. He says, and I'm not writing this in the hope that you do such things for me. So he's saying, I didn't bring this up that y'all might take an offering today and say, we need to take care of Paul. You know, he said, I didn't do it for that reason. He goes on and says, I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of this boast. Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. The Lord has called me to this. This is what I'm supposed to do, he said. It's my job. It's what I do for the Lord. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. He says, if I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. And so he says, if I do it for free, or if I do it and you provide my needs. He said, it's okay. You know, the Lord's allowed for that. But he says, what then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make use of my rights in preaching it. So get this, the church at Corinth, they did not pay Paul one penny. He did not take one penny from them to support his own needs. Could he have? Yes, he could have. He could have said, look, guys, you owe it to me, and God said it's okay, so this is what I want, okay? But he said, I didn't do that because, and we'll see as we get further, that he didn't want anybody to say that. He's just in it for the money. He didn't want to hear that. Now, you've never heard that today in our time period, right, that anybody is in the ministry for the money. You've never seen that on TV. You've never seen that in the newspaper. That's a thought that would never enter someone's mind. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We know better, don't we? It's still a problem today, isn't it? Okay. So we need to take these things to heart. Okay. He goes further. Though I am free and belong to no man, saying I can do what I want to do, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Now that's his goal. Paul said, I'm an apostle. I don't have to be a slave. I have a choice. I could serve or I could be served, you know? And Jesus said that. He said, he didn't come to be served. He came to serve, okay? So he says, my goal is to win as many people as possible. And you know what happens if we're not willing to be a servant? If we would rather be the ruler than to be the servant? Remember we talked before about a servant being a waiter. Somebody that comes and waits on you as you're at the restaurant. That's a picture of a servant in our time period. And if we would say, you know, I'd rather be the person at the table and you come and wait on me, rather than me saying, I want to be that waiter. As we're the servant, as we're the waiter, the barriers are down. Now we can reach people, okay? But if we come along with this high and mighty attitude like, you should be waiting on me, you know? If we have that attitude, the barriers are up. They're like, who do you think you are? You know, what are you going to tell me? And we have that kind of attitude with those kind of folks. So Paul said, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Then he tells us a little bit more in case we don't know what he means. To the Jews, I became like a Jew. The goal, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law. Though he said, though I myself am not under the law, because Paul's been freed from that. See, the law says we're guilty of sin. Paul says, I'm really free from that, but I will live like I'm under the law if that's what it takes to reach people so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law. And see, Christ's law says to love one another. That's the Lord's command. And we're still under that one. Till the moment we are standing before Jesus himself, we are still under that law. Love one another. Remember, Jesus kept saying, a new command I give you. Love one another. Now let me stop and ask a really bad question. How many churches do you see that law practiced in? Love one another. Okay? And I tell you what, in our society where we love comfort, we love luxury, we love to be waited on, we constantly need to hear, love one another. We need to be reminded, it's not about you. It's about the person you can minister to. It's not about me. It's about who can I serve. Okay? That's that loving one another thing. So he says, I act like I'm not under the law so as to win those not having the law. Verse 22, to the weak, I became weak to win the weak. Now get this picture. Here's this guy that comes to you and has an issue with television because of his past. And you're all excited. You want to watch the March Madness, man. You got your team coming up and you want to see what's going on, okay? And you're saying, I'm going to watch that game today. And this guy says, man, I don't mind hanging out with you if you want to do something different, you know. We could go outside and go walk the track or, you know, play a little tennis, whatever's on your heart or mind. We can go do that. And you can tell in his voice that the guy'd really like your fellowship. So what are you going to do? See, if we're like Paul, we're going to say, I'm going to become like the weak to win the weak. If he can't watch TV today, guess what? I can't watch it either. You know, if you say it's too cold to go outside, well, come on over. We'll just do something different, you know. Got this cool Wii game you got to see kind of thing, you know. No commercials. It's cool, you know, just the way it is. So something like that, you know, if there's something you can do to fellowship, but you're going to sacrifice, Lord says that's cool because it'll help build up the brother or sister in the Lord. That love builds up. Man, don't forget that. It's an important principle. He says, I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings. Now, think about what Paul's telling us here. He is saying, you know what? I sacrifice, I give up the income I could take from you all, because I want you to be built up in the Lord. I don't want anything I do to cause you to fall backward in the Lord. I want you to be built up stronger in the Lord. He says, I become all things to everybody. Whatever it takes to reach that person, I'm willing to go there that I might reach him. You know, the missionaries have figured this out a long time ago. They go to another country where it's a really poor country and you're an American, you're used to everything you got here. They say, you know, if I'm smart and I want to reach those people, I've got to live like them. Because if I don't live like them, they're going to look at me like, who do you think you are? And missionaries have learned that principle. I find it interesting that we have a hard time with that in our country. We don't want to sacrifice right here, you know, to reach other people. And that's what love is. It's sacrifice. There's no way to avoid that one, okay? Now, I know I've been asked this before, so let me just put this out there so you're aware of it, okay? The situation with my salary, with the church right here, I don't take a salary from the church, and I've not done that because our church is a young fellowship, you know, and I want to see it grow and flourish, and as the Lord provides, I just praise the Lord to see that, but I'm not touching that, okay? At this point, I don't take anything from the church. Now, as a salary, I mean, okay? When I went to the conference last year for the mission trip, I don't know if it was Dupree. I'm sorry, it was the pastor's conference I went to last year. The church did provide for my way to go do that, you know. And we had that set up in our constitution and bylaws. And that's a thing that the pastor can do to get some help in doing extracurricular stuff like that. Helpful stuff, okay? But as far as the salary, I don't take that, all right? And there is a reason for that. One, that I'm trying to let the church grow on the one hand, but the other is I don't want to put a barrier up. I don't want somebody to say, well, he's just in this for the money, okay? Because if somebody would point that at me, we'd have to say, well, you have to show that one to me because I'm not getting a salary for that. And you know what I find is really amazing, too? People expect that. You know, they expect that you're taking money, you know, for what you do or whatever. And when we've had opportunity, when Lord brought that up, and people would say something to us about it, and I'd tell them, you know, well, I'm not getting paid by the church. They're like, what? You're not getting paid by the church? I said, no, we're not taking anything from the church. And I explained, it's a young fellowship, you know, and right now the Lord's provided work for me to do, and I'm able to do that and still get the church work done too. But when the day comes, I'll just let you know, when the day comes where the ministry is requiring more time than I'm able to put into it with a job like that, I'll have to start cutting back on the outside employment and, Lord willing, be able to take some help from the church to do that, okay? But that's just to let you know where we're at on this too. I take it very seriously what Paul said here, and it's the Lord speaking through him, you know, that we'll do whatever it takes to serve people, to help them grow in the Lord. And if it's a hindrance to somebody that I would have a salary, I would say, okay, I don't need to do that. You know, I'll back off on that one because my goal is to reach you. And whatever burden you might have or that's up there, that boundary that comes up, I don't want it there. I want the boundaries to stay down. I want to have open communication with folks, okay? So take this to heart. Think this one through in your life. Is there something you're doing that you're not wanting to sacrifice that's causing another brother to be weakened instead of strengthened? And if there is, I'd say, man, just get rid of whatever it is. Because see, the day's going to come where we have to stand before the Lord. He's not going to say, well done, thou great and good knowledgeable person. He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So are you willing to be the servant? Okay? Now, he's got in verse 24 a message of encouragement to close this. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. And there's the principle for you and me. For those of us who might say, well, I really like this one thing, and I just don't want to give it up. You know, if a brother and sister in the Lord has a problem with that, I just won't be around that person, you know, if that's our decision. The Lord says, man, you're not running the race to win. To run the race to win means I'll give up whatever it takes. You know, like Paul said, I'll become a slave to everybody because I want to win this race. Okay? He says, everyone who competes in the games or goes into strict training. And you know what training involves if you've been involved in sports before? It involves what? Practice. A lot of times sore muscles because you had to push yourself. Okay? And he says, why don't we do that in Christianity? Why don't we push ourselves? You know, why don't we say, I'm going to do better. I want to reach more people. I want to serve more people. Why don't we have that as a goal? We should. Paul said that's what he did. Run as a way to win, in such a way as to win the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Do you realize when you and I stand before Jesus, and if he really is able to say to you and me, well done, good and faithful servant, that is going to stick with us, not for a day, not for a week, not for a year, until the next event comes around and somebody else runs the event, wins better than you or something, and they give a new medal to them. That's going to last forever when Jesus says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You will have that forever. Boy, that's an awesome thing. And the Lord lays that before us as a motivation. Verse 26, therefore I do not run like a man running aimlessly. Can you imagine, you got a racetrack out here and the guy's running and he's not running in the path or running toward the goal at the end. He's just kind of running all over the place, you know, because he likes to run. And he says, I don't do that. I'm running for the end zone, man. I'm going for the goal, dear. That's what I want. He says, I do not fight like a man beating the air. And, you know, a guy could say, I'm a great boxer. Have you ever fought anybody? No, but man, watch this, you know, and all this stuff. It's like you didn't beat anybody. You didn't win anything, you know. And he's saying, I'm not wasting my time. As a Christian, I'm not wasting my time. I've got a goal. I want to win, man. When I stand before the Lord, I don't want the Lord to say, you thought so many times about serving people. That was just awesome, man. No, he's going to say, you served people. That was awesome. Okay? So I tell you what, a lot of times we have these ideas the Lord puts in our head. You could minister to this person. Don't say, no, I don't feel like it today, man, because you didn't do anything. Okay? Just to think about it, oh, that'd be great if that guy were helped. Well, maybe the Lord's saying, you help him. You know, you're the one I'm tapping on the shoulder today. Don't ignore those thoughts. A lot of times the Lord's trying to help us to get that reward, you know, to get that winning goal there. He said, verse 27, no. He said, I beat my body and I make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. And he said, I sacrifice whatever I need to, okay, because I want it to work. I want to help people. That's my goal. And, you know, for us, if whatever it is, again, that might be holding you back, just get rid of it. It's really not worth it, you know. If there's anything in our life that says I would be a better Christian if. Whatever you put after that if, get rid of it. Because you're wasting your life if you're not. You're beating the air. Okay? So we're going to close our section here before we have our last song. And as we go to prayer, just let the Lord speak to your heart. You know, maybe there's something that we are doing that's wasting our time. We're running aimlessly. We're not going the right direction. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the work you're doing in us. And Lord, I pray if there's something in our life that's hindering the gospel, help us, Jesus, just to let it go. Help us to get past it. Lord, you're such an awesome picture for us to see that you gave up everything for us. Jesus, you were willing to go to the cross. You put up with shame. You put up with people spitting on you and beating you, Lord, and calling you names and mocking you. You sacrificed everything for us. Help us to have that kind of heart, Lord, that we see people as so important that we want to serve them just like you came to serve us. Lord, I thank you for the folks today who are making decisions in their life and saying, I want to live more for you, Lord. I want to give things up that I'm struggling with, things that are holding me back, things that are keeping me from building my brother up in Christ and sister up in Christ. Father, I thank you, and I pray that you really bless them, encourage them, strengthen them. We thank you for everything you do for us. We praise you for this resurrection day. As remember, Jesus, that you were raised to life. You came back again, Lord, and you're still alive. And we just praise you for that, Lord. We look forward to the day we get to see you. We praise you right now in your precious name.
Thanks for joining us today at The Word in Motion. If you would like to hear more studies from Pastor Chuck or get information about our ministry, you can go online to thewordinmotion.org. Or if you'd like to drop us a line, you can write us at The Word in Motion, 1827 Robb Avenue, Belleville, Illinois, 62226. Don't forget to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. When I talk, I speak your truth, my voice will